Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the act of remembering is not always as easy as you think it is, especially as you're getting older. I recently came across a story of a man that was working out in his backyard, and his neighbor stuck his head over a fence. They struck up a conversation, and the guy that was working says, "Yeah, my wife and I went to a seminar last night on how to improve your memory." And the guy said, "That's really cool." He says, "Well, who was the speaker?" And the man says, "Well, what's that one flower that has the red, and they smell really good, and it has the thorns on it? You mean a rose?" "Yeah." "Hey, Rose, who was the speaker we listened to last night?" We human beings often have a hard time remembering things. In fact, the older you get, the more you begin to realize that you can hide your own Easter eggs because you have no idea where you put them. Have you ever done something really nice for a friend or a family member, only to find out later they really don't even remember? You know that feeling? "I took so much time to put this card together or to do this for them, and they act like they don't even care." In contrast, remember the times you've done something and you thought it was really kind of small but significant in their life, and they're all about coming back and saying, "Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for showing appreciation." You know how that makes you feel? In our text today, God is trying to incite us to remember. Remember the things He has done in the past, to remember the things He's doing right now in our presence, and to also remember the promises of the things He said He will do for us in the future. And as we pause today, we have a moment to remember the blessings that we have received, and be surprised at just how gracious and loving our Heavenly Father is, and how important Thanksgiving Day is, if not Thanksgiving living is, in the life of a Christian. First of all, I want to remember where we have been. For the Israelites in the text, their recollections of their past contain both bitter and sweet memories. On the mind of the Israelites was that vivid imagery of that scorching desert sun and that hot burning sand under their feet and that parched tongue that longed for water and that growling stomach that was inside. See, the Israelites had experienced times of great difficulty to the point where they had the audacity to basically murmur against God and His servant Moses. See, the Israelites had suffered in the midst of this leaving of the land of Egypt to the point where they said that God was making a laughingstock out of them. They had brought Him out in the middle of the wilderness only to watch them die under the heat of the sun. But in fact, God had freed them, and God had provided for them. And now God says in our text, "Remember how these 40 years I led you and cared for you. I protected you from the elements, fed you with manna from heaven and birds. When you were thirsty, was it I who brought water from a rock and turned bitter water sweet? It wasn't luxurious living, but I brought you safely to the threshold of the promised land." When the Israelites finally stopped to consider where they had been and all that they experienced along the way, it gave them moments just to stop and give thanks for all that God had done. But what about us as a congregation? Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church has a lot to be thankful for. This congregation was sprung up out of a mission start on July the 4th of 1909. And there was a pastor called by the name of Reverend William Friedrich Victor Bader, who was called and installed in order to form a congregation in a day school in the South Bottoms in Lincoln here. His primary mission field was Germans who had migrated from America via the Volga River's fertile valley. And they had all gathered here. And God so blessed their ministry from 1909 to 1925, the congregation grew to a baptized membership of 413 people. The high water mark was met in 1961 at 450 members here at Emmanuel. Since then, Emmanuel has grown, and the demographics of Emmanuel have certainly changed. But the reality is that over our 107-year history, God continues to provide for this congregation, even today, still touting a membership of 403 baptized members. God is so gracious. But you see, like God's people, His chosen people of the Old Testament, Emmanuel Lutheran Church experienced both bitter and sweet times. There were times of difficulty. There were times of scarcity. There were times of infighting and perhaps some bitterness along the way. But through it all, there was times when the congregation may have been just said, you know, what's the point? There's plenty of other churches to attend. Why do we need to stay here? But this body of believers stayed connected to one another. And Thanksgiving Day is a great time for us to remember where we have also been personally. As you step back, each of us in our own way can look at our life in the rearview mirror and say, you know what, Pastor? There were times of bitterness for me. There were times when I faced trial, or there was discouragement, or there was an addiction, or there was a sickness, or just times of despair. There was times when I wanted and I did murmur against God. There were times when I felt that no one really cared for me anyway. There were times I thought that God had literally forgotten me. Times when Satan had tormented me and accused me and drove me to a very point of giving up. When those times pass, and as we go into a new phase of our life, it's easy just to forget about the hard times. It's easy just kind of remember, have that remembrance of all the glory days and all the high points of my faith and all the exciting things that have happened, instead of just stopping for a moment and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with me every step of the way. Thank you, Lord, for lifting me up when I had no strength at all. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. The truth is, just like the Israelites of old, each of us were once held in bondage, right? And as Israel's adversary, the Egyptians, were drowned in the heart of the Red Sea, your enemy, the devil, was drowned in the water of your holy baptism. And just like Israel was not delivered immediately into the promised land, do not collect $200, neither have you entered into eternal paradise of heaven. You're still this side of glory. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, and we wander for generations in the wilderness of sin on this side of glory. And as God fed the Israelites with bread from heaven and water from rock, our Heavenly Father continues to feed His chosen people with His bread from heaven, which is the very flesh and blood of His Son, and His water from the rock, your baptism, that now strengthens you. Today, as we stop for a moment and consider all that God has done for us, we remember the cross and Christ's sacrifice, as we remember Easter morning in the empty tomb, and remember all the promises that God had made, we can confidently stand back and say, God has set me free. I am forgiven. Well, now that we've reminisced, perhaps it's time we look at what God is doing for us right now. For the Israelites in the text, they were literally toes in the water of the Jordan River, on the very cusp of the promised land. And they were looking across the plain and all the beauty that God had before them. A land literally flowing with milk and honey. A land where bread would never be in scarcity. A land where God would protect and comfort and uplift them day by day by day. And they remembered how God had provided for them the last 40 years. He had fed them, He had clothed them, He had upheld them, He had protected them, and now He was delivering them into the land of promise. Not one of them there could say, we made it on our own, we did it our way. Not one of them could, because God had brought them there, literally carrying them every step of the way. Well, how about Emmanuel Lutheran Church? Through our text, God is kind of tapping us on the shoulder and asking us just to stop for a moment and think where this congregation is today. You know, what if this morning you showed up and the windows were all boarded up? I have put a for sale sign in the front of my former parish's congregation to prove a point, but what if there's a for sale sign out here? Or an auction today, bargain prices. It kind of makes you think about what a privilege it is together as a body of believers and to freely be able to listen to the law and gospel be proclaimed to me, that Christ has been crucified for my sins. What a privilege it is to come and to kneel to receive the flesh and blood of Christ under bread and wine for our forgiveness, for all the times when we fall short of God's glory. What a joy it is to hear the voice of your pastor proclaim, your sins are all forgiven. And as you acknowledge this morning, it's not my voice you hear, but it's the voice of Christ. What is God doing for us right now? There's so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. But what about you personally? What has God done for you? What is He doing right now? This is where I absolutely love Luther. In the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed of God, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, he says these words, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this He does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty, get this, to thank and praise, serve, and obey Him. This is most certainly true. Look at your life right now. Whether you think you're in want or in surplus, look at who you are today and all that God has provided for you. Not one of us can say, oh, I did it my way. I earned it. It's all mine, because we know that God has provided everything we have to support this body and life. And for that, we are extremely grateful. Well, it's important to remember where we've been. It's important to remember where we are now. But I think even today it's more important to remember where we are going. In our text today, we hear a description of the promised land, and a lot of people say, Pastor, it kind of sounds like heaven. As Christians, you know where you're going. Perhaps you've heard this illustration before of the widowed woman who came into the pastor's office to give him some insights into what she'd like for a funeral service, which, by the way, is very helpful. And she came and she talked for a while, and they talked about chapters and verses that he could read, and she's kind of given some insights on her life, which the pastor really appreciated. And then finally she says, Pastor, but when I die, I want in the casket, I want you to slide a fork into my hand. The pastor said, a fork? Why do you want a fork in your hand? And believe me, I've seen some weird stuff go in the coffins, but a fork? And she says, yeah, you remember at the church potluck dinners, and when we were done with the main course, someone would always stand and say, well, keep your forks because the best is yet to come. Dear friends, your eternal destiny through faith in Jesus Christ is certain. Christ has made certainty of that through His suffering, His death, and His resurrection. In our text today, our God continues to remind us all He has done in our past, all He is doing right now in your life, and all that He will continue to do as the end of this life draws ever closer. Remembering gives us an opportunity to turn those heartaches and the joys, those difficulties we face in life, in the moments of praise. And that our lives turn into thanks living. I want to close with just a short story about a man who decided one Thanksgiving he was going to write a letter to a teacher he had when he was in high school or elementary school, I'm not sure. But he wrote her a nice thank you note and sent it off. And the teacher received it, who was now 80 years old and had been retired for quite some time. She was so happy to get the letter that she quickly pinned him a letter back that said these words, I can't tell you how much your letter meant to me. It was, you will be interested to know that I taught school for 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation that I ever received. It arrived on a day when I was somewhat discouraged, and it brought me cheer and happiness. Remembering that all that God has provided for you, forgiveness, life, eternal salvation, it leads us, as Luther would say, to pray, praise, and give thanks. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord.